Ocho is up with us early. Says, Sean, I'm late. You know that you're up early routinely when it's 6:19 and your first thing you text is, I'm late.
Yeah, sorry, I'm late.
Yeah, that's true, though. Ocho's here at 6 a.m. every day. Did you mention the ace of the staff, Mr. Brandon Lee Walter, a.k.a. Great Value Tom Glavine? I'm telling you right now, if the Astros were to be heading into, maybe not a wild card series, but maybe if it went 2 out of 3, Brandon Walter is your third best starter right now.
Yes.
He's starting playoff games for you right now. If this is what you look like pitching-wise going into the postseason, he is starting playoff games for you without question, I think.
Yeah, and you could look at it from either side, right? On the one end, that's a little bit concerning given the experience and just the no-name nature of it. But also, if you're like us, like the people that are listening to this show and like you and I who watch every Astros game and watch every Brandon Walter start, you're kind of like, you know what? I am actually okay with that guy based off of what I've seen so far.
Yep.
So I'm a Brandon Walter guy. I'm actually a fan of all of the, let's call them minor league pitchers that they've had kind of come in and fill in the spot for the injured guys between Brandon Walter, Colton Gordon. All of these guys have had their issues, but at the same time, you kind of understand it. I've got far less of a problem with these guys themselves as I do just the situation in and of itself that none of us can control. It just kind of is what it is. Shout out to John Lopez. But like, just the fact that they're in this position is what I object to more than what they've actually given us. I am a Brandon Walter guy for sure.
I put Gusto in the same bucket with those. I know he was on the team to come out of camp in the bullpen, but he's been, you know, he's had to start a bunch of games this year. You weren't expecting that.
Or has to come out there and relieve Lance, whatever he's scuffling, because now it's his long reliever role. Well, like it's one or the other.
Or even yesterday, it was wild watching the broadcast yesterday towards the end of the game, and Callis and Blum are sitting there talking about, and rightfully so, talking about like, man, Abreu might have to finish this game. They're up 11-3. They've just got nobody else. And they mentioned that Gusto might be available. He's never pitched 2 days in a row before. So do you worry about what kind of impact that has on his arm? Eventually, obviously they didn't. They brought him in. But yeah, like it sounded weird in an 11-3 game, but they're kind of having to figure some things out because they've been so taxed on the bullpen. And that's where, boy, Lance has got to – I mean, if you're going to throw Lance McCullers out there every 5 or 6 days, he's got to give you more than 2 2/3 innings. A good Lance start can't be 5 innings with 101 pitches.
Right.
I mean, this is even when he's been good. This is kind of – he's never been an economical pitcher.
Yeah.
You know?
And now he's not economical or necessarily effective, which really at some point –
it's a bad combination.
And I don't know if we're at this point now, and maybe we're there, maybe we're just getting there, but at some point we're going to have the conversation of, is this guy hurting you more than he's helping? Because, you know, when he was coming back or in the beginning of the year, it was like, hey, luxury Lance, it's a plus. Then when he gets back, it's, hey, you need this guy. He's your third best guy at this point. And now
and he started pitching that way for a brief spell.
For a brief spell, exactly. It kind of teased you a little bit with, and I even said it on the air. I was like, man, it's amazing how Lance McCullers continues to reinvent himself by force, because he has to with all the injuries that he's had. He's had to reinvent himself as a pitcher, and a credit to him for doing that. But now that's not looking so great. So at some point there's going to be a conversation, or it could be a conversation of, what is Lance McCullers? What is the best place or the best use of him, if any at all?
All right. Training camp starts in 2 days. 48 hours from now, you and I will be in segment number 2 of our first training camp edition of the show. I can't wait.
Let's go.
It's been a long few weeks, man, since minicamp. Although it's been nice that during the dead time, the Astros have been, the last week and a half notwithstanding, one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yep.
And the Rockets did us the service of going out and getting perhaps the greatest scorer of the 25th century, or 21st century. 25 a game is what was in my head.
Yeah.
The number 25 was in my head because he scores more than 25 a game routinely. 21st century Kevin Durant. So that's been nice. And you have executives from companies at Coldplay concerts fondling each other on the Kiss Cam. That's really helped as well.
That will sustain us for, I think, decades to come.
I think it will too.
As long as the internet exists.
That's right. We'll get to them in a minute. But training camp starts up. New faces every year. We've got some high-profile new faces this year, you know, for a team that came into this offseason with not nearly as much cap space as they did last offseason, you know, when they were able to go get Danielle Hunter and trade for Joe Mixon and give him an extension and all those things.
And also Stephon Diggs, obviously.
Stephon Diggs, yeah. So But this, I would say at least a couple, like, very, very prominent names. So I've got my list here of the my excitement level of newcomers here. I've got my power ranking here. Do you want me to go through my power ranking, or do you want to dueling piano this thing, and I'll name one, and then you can pick one that you want to name? We go back and forth here.
So let me, I'll say this on the front end. We have four of the same five guys.
Oh, good. Okay.
And the only order where we're consistent is the fifth guy.
Okay.
So that's it. So I've taken a peek at your list.
Okay.
My list is similar, four of the same five guys, but I've got a different guy in there, and we have the same fifth
guy. I'll start at the bottom of my list then. All right, here. Let's number do that. Five. I got Christian Kirk as my five.
I'm with that.
This time a year ago, the Texans were getting power ranked. Their wide receiver room was one of the top three or four in the league, every outlet you went to, because of the Diggs trade. And obviously because Tank Dell and Nico Collins did some great things back in 2023. By the end of the year, it was Nico Collins and a bunch of dudes who couldn't get open.
Yeah.
Christian Kirk gets open. Christian Kirk, you know, obviously there's no Tank. At healthy Tank Dell, I don't know that there's a player as unicorn-like as he is in the ability to do so many things at such a diminutive size. But Christian Kirk definitely scratches you where you itch in terms of having a guy who's a pro, who's accomplished. When he's been fully healthy, he's been a 1,000-yard receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Christian Kirk, how he fits in this offense, in the slot, in this new offense, this Nick Caley offense, number five for me.
Christian Kirk gets open. Christian Kirk gets open consistently, and Christian Kirk, I think this is most important specific to the Texans, Christian Kirk gets open quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and that's within mind, for me at least, that the offensive line is still a work in progress. We do not, it might actually be great. We don't know. But at this point, I don't think any of us can go into the season, especially going into training camp, and say, hey, we got all the confidence in the world in this offensive line. You'd be lying. So if you're coming from it from that perspective, all of the guys that can get open quickly, the Christian Kirks of the world, the running backs that are going to catch the ball out of the backfield, the tight ends, I think all of those guys are going to be super important.
All right, give me one. Give me one off your list.
So off my list, and I'm going to quickly go away from somebody that's not on your list because I was surprised. I didn't realize, and I'm just going to kind of spoil this a little bit, I didn't realize that we could put rookies on here when I saw that you did.
Yeah.
I picked a different one.
Okay.
Jalen Noll.
Yeah. I have Higgins in mind, but I went back and forth.
So Jalen Noll.
The case for Noll. Go ahead.
The case for Noll is a similar case for Christian Kirk, I think, when we talk about guys that can get open quickly. But I think with Noll, it's going to be even more so because it's not like it's just like he's just going to be a slot guy. I think they're going to use him in multiple ways. We'll see him in multiple different spots. And the biggest thing with him, with the Texans, is how much this offense, to me, lacks speed. Like, that's been one key element of it. They just didn't have a burner. Tank Dell is a very specific kind of player, and he'd be the closest thing to that. And Nico Collins, for his size, obviously moves extremely well. But they didn't just have a straight-up speedster, that type of guy that is a matchup, a mismatch because of his speed. And so Jalen Noll is going to be certainly somebody for me to watch, even in training camp, watching him go up against this star-studded DB group that the Texans had.
I have Higgins on my list. I'll do Higgins here just since you just did Noll. The reason I picked Higgins over Noll was strictly based on some of the things that I saw at minicamp and at OTAs with Jaden Higgins. Noll was hurt for minicamp. He didn't get out there. Higgins was making plays downfield against first teamers in minicamp. You know, yeah. That and including just he had, I mean, the one hand, everybody's seen it on social media, but the one-handed catch he had with Kamari Lassiter draped all over him.
Yeah.
And big body, like the intrigue for me of having a guy that's practically the same size as Nico Collins on the other side, outside, having two big physical receivers like that, very intriguing to me.
Yeah, and he's on my list just for the record too. He's on my list
as well.
I think you're going to get to the guy that's not on my list and Noel takes his place. But I think anytime you can get a guy with the combination of skills that Jaden Higgins has, kind of similar to Nico, that size but moves that well and has already shown a propensity to making the type of plays that we've already seen him make, I can't wait to watch him.
Is Cam Robinson the one that's not on your list?
That's the one that's
Cam
not on
Robinson,
my list.
And I get that. It's the offensive line. It's not super sexy. It's not like you're you sent out a Pro Bowl left tackle. You didn't bring one in.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it intriguing for me. You know, the fact that I think all these positions are open to competition, including left tackle. Cam Robinson doesn't have a a good training camp. He won't be the left tackle for this football team. Somebody else will. But he's replacing Laremy Tunsil. And it's a counterintuitive move to trade away your best pass protector when you have an offensive line that had a quarterback get sacked the second most times in the NFL, got hit a ton, pressured like crazy. I'm for the Laremy Tunsil trade, just to be very clear. I think it made sense. But Cam Robinson is, you're going to need good left tackle play.
Yeah.
And he's been okay as a pro. He's not been Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah. I think the tackle position, I wouldn't single out Cam Robinson. I think every point that you make is valid. I would just look at the tackle position at large as one that is fascinating to me because we went into the offseason. Of course, you remember this, Sean. We go into the offseason having questions about the offensive line from guard to guard. It was an interior offensive line question mostly. I found it interesting how we get to OTAs and minicamp, and it feels like if they're settled on anything, and I'm not saying that they are because we don't know this to be true for a fact, but if they're settled on anything, it feels like they're more so settled on the remade interior offensive line than they are the tackle position. You mentioned Cam Robinson specifically, but I feel like both tackles, if we can even say for sure that Blake Fisher is the right tackle, it feels like he is. But it doesn't feel like either guy, whether you're talking about Blake Fisher on the right side or Cam Robinson on the left side, for sure has that tackle position locked down. Like it could be another guy by the end of camp.
These guys haven't put on pads yet. Okay, we got to take a step back. They haven't put on pads yet. So I think everything's up for grabs. The main reason I have Cam Robinson on the first team right now is, one, he was with the first team a lot in minicamp. Like, he was the guy there. He's also making $14 million a year.
Right.
You know, Trent Brown is making $3 million a year. Nobody's mentioning his name at all in this whole thing. And I think...
Except John Lopez.
Well, and he also hasn't practiced much either. He's coming back from injury. Yeah. So anyways, I like that. Cam Robinson, and by proxy, the offensive line as a whole, is for sure going to be something that we're keeping an eye on at camp. All right, so we're down to the last two. We have the same two names then. If I'm doing process of elimination, I'll let you go first on the two names that we are most excited to see at training camp.
Let's just get to CJ Gardner-Johnson now.
He's my number one, just to be clear.
He's your number one. So you and I have a flip-flop number one. The other guy who's on your list will be my number one. Yeah. But CJ Gardner-Johnson he's number one on your list and could easily be number one on mine. I think just the entertainment value alone, the character that he is going to make for a fun training camp. Getting to watch him out there interact with his new teammates, getting to interact with him for the first few times that we do. But then also, hell of a football player.
Yeah.
So, like, when you add these, if you're just one or the other, it's whatever. But when you're both, when you're a character and you're going to be a key component to the football team, I can't wait to see that.
Nick Chubb, total opposite reason.
Yeah.
Like He is, you know, stoic and quiet. You know, he leads by example, that kind of thing. With Nick Chubb, the intrigue is just how healthy is he? You know, once you put pads on, how explosive does he look? You go back and watch Nick Chubb's highlight package from before this last knee injury that he's had. Of course, we all know he suffered a really damaging knee injury in college as well. But Nick Chubb is in the conversation for best running back in football over that period of time. Never averaged under 5 yards per carry. The interesting thing about CJ Gardner for me, and I'll get your thoughts on Chubb in a second here, but just to dovetail off of what you're talking about, if you watch that interview he did on the Pivot podcast, and a lot of it was about why didn't it work out in Philly? Why are you on so many different teams?
Yeah.
And more often than not, the answer has something to do with something he did at practice. So, you know, I shot the gap and they got mad at me for doing that in practice. Dan Campbell told me to stop being so physical. I was like, what the hell? We do Oklahoma drills. He's openly bragging about how he basically shut down joint practices a couple of times because of hits. So what are we coming up on here? What are we talking about? Practice.
Yeah.
That's what makes him an intriguing training camp name for me, is that it seems like a lot of the issues he's had in previous stops have to do with the fact that he maybe takes practices up a couple of notches past where the head coach would like him to take it.
You are too intense in practice for Dan Campbell.
Right.
And D'Amico Ryan says, bring him over here. That's exactly my type of guy.
That's
exactly my type of player. No, yeah. I'm right there with you in terms of the logic and the reasoning for wanting to watch C.J. Gardner-Johnson. If he is that much of a disruptor in practice to where even somebody that is as intense as Dan Campbell is saying, hey, reel it in a little bit, that's going to be a lot of fun. Now, I don't want him taking the heads off of anybody on this offense.
No,
because this offense has a lot of questions and has a lot to prove, especially – with a new offensive coordinator, CJ going into year three and all of that. So please take it easy on these guys, on all, but also be entertaining, and I'm sure that he
will. Be entertaining. All right, your thoughts on Chubb? I didn't get a bite at the Chubb apple.
So
here,
you asked the question that all of us are going to be asking, how explosive is he?
Yeah.
My question, which is kind of dovetails off of that, is what if he is?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so the reason why Nick Chubb is the top newcomer to watch for me is the what if factor. And I think we're allowed to traffic in what ifs at this time of the year when you're going into training camp, because we don't know. So it's fair to ask the question. We want to know how explosive he is. Okay, if the answer to that question is, let's just throw a number out there arbitrarily, 60%, 75%. Okay, mm-hmm. What if he is? What if it's there? Now what does that look like? What does that mean for the Texans running back room? What is that added element to the offense? Aside from it being a different offense or a new offense, what is that added element of having a second guy at that position that you can rely on, which is something that the Texans have not had nearly as often enough as we had liked to have seen him have it over the last
few
years.
He's healthy. That becomes a really fun room. You know, to speculate. I mean, there will be somebody who has played some football on this team quite a bit over the last few years.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, you made the point back when they made the signing that just the numbers game alone that it does makes it a fascinating, makes it an intriguing piece of training camp to go in. And then what happens after that?
Yeah, yeah. It's Damian Pierce because Woody Marks is making this team.
Yes,
you know. So barring injury, again, barring injury, it's going to be a numbers game between Damian Pierce, Dario Gumbawale. You do rationalize a Gumbawale. We need him on special teams.
Yeah.
We just view him as a body, not as a running back. That kind of thing.
Woody Marks making the team both because he was just drafted, and also he's a different type of back.
He's a pass catcher.
Has an added element to the offense that is different from the rest of the guys. So you actually want him, aside from the fact that you just got him and haven't really seen him play.
Yep. All right, let's get to some headlines. We'll circle back to the Astros. They win yesterday. They lose the series, win a game, keep the Mariners at bay. The Texans made a signing over the weekend. We've got some NFL news to get to as well. We'll get to all of that coming up next in headlines.